Welcome, everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. My name is Roy. My call is AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and William, AC2ZV, will be my co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers, as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. We offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder, and as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club's website, and the link can be found on the front page of our website in orange color type. But if you would like a simple URL to find it, just type into your browser puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater's signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. We also have an EchoLink node available for use. Just point your EchoLink application to the node KC2RC-R. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month, and all of this information can also be found on our club website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and an application is readily available on our club's website. No question is too simple. No question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for the net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try to provide a cogent answer, and William, AC2ZV, will join in as well. And if any other listener has any facts or opinions, they'll be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest here, please let us know, either on this net, or you can send me email. My address is tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net tonight, William, AC2ZV. Good evening, William.
Good evening, Roy. I'm here and waiting to hear if you have any other participants in the net. Having a pretty nice day out here. It's a great weather. And so let's see who checks in.
Okay, very good, William. Once again, I am AC2GS. Name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. If anyone out there has any questions or comments for tonight's net, please hit that push to talk and ID yourself. Let's try one more time on that. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're open for business. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. If there's anyone with any questions or comments tonight, please hit that push to talk. Give me your first name and your call sign.
Well, hi. Hey, this is AC2ZV checking in to the TechNet. Hey, Roy, I'd like you to explain the difference to me between a counterpoise and a ground connection for a transmitter.
Okay. The problem is when you use the term ground, because ground is used to explain at least three, possibly four different things. If you're talking about the difference between, say, a counterpoise and a radial, functionally there's no difference. They serve the exact same purpose. You don't really want to ground your antenna to the earth completely, because your RF will be grounded and it will be dissipated and absorbed. So ground radials are not exactly the same thing as grounding your vertical antenna. So I just want to make sure that I got the question right. Do you mean basically the same thing as radials, or are you alluding to some other aspect where you're grounding your antenna in case of lightning strikes and such for protection?
Well, it's true that you have to do lightning strike protection, and there's lots of ways that you can do that. But my point was more about, you know, I guess the radials, because the thing is you can have a ground without having a ground connection through having counterpoise, and it acts like a ground for the RF. So that's the thing I was trying to get to.
Okay. Well, it doesn't really act as a ground. It acts as a counterpoise. The point is, when you're using imbalanced antennas, the laws of physics have problems with that. They kind of prefer things, you know, I've often used the analogy of a seesaw. you know, try and saw off one half of a seesaw and see how much enjoyment you have playing with the seesaw that's left behind. So even an unbalanced antenna requires something to attempt to balance it. In the case of a counterpoise, it's a single piece of wire. You could almost think of it as, you know, especially for end feds. If you have a counterpoise, that's almost like having a dipole, and the counterpoise is the other element. In the case of vertical antennas that are close to the ground, you want a bunch of them to shield the RF from getting into the ground, and that's why you need something like 36-plus radials around a ground-based vertical. If you lift it up above the ground, then you just need a counterpoise. You get by with one piece of wire. Problem is that that would probably lead to a somewhat more directional vertical. So you need a minimum of 3 radials to spread out the radiation pattern to 360 degrees. So effectively, counterpoises and radials are the same exact thing. They are a means for the imbalance of an antenna to attempt to attain a degree of balance.
Wow, that was a really great explanation. You know, I hope somebody out there was listening, because I was. Thank you so much, Roy, for explaining that. Well, I don't know what else to say. I can come up with a couple more questions, but maybe there's somebody else out there with a couple of questions.
Okay, we'll give it the old college try. Again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're open for business. We're here to hopefully help people understand the underlying concepts that allow us to do amateur radio. And it's a fun hobby, and you don't really have to know how it works, but I always like to know how stuff works. So that's why we make this available. So anyone who has any questions about the technical aspects, we try and keep it as simple as possible. Math is not a requirement, and really can't offer too much math over the radio. But hopefully I could offer some degree of understanding. So if there's anyone out there listening tonight who said, oh, yeah, I have a question. I've been wondering for a couple of months now, and I never got around to looking it up. Let me ask this guy. If that's, then hit that push to talk and ID yourselves.
Well, Roy, this is AC2ZV again. Hey, listen, I got a question for you. What do you think the radius of the repeater is that we're working on right now? It seems like we can reach it up as far as Queens in some cases, Manhattan, and even over to Jersey. What do you think the actual radius is of the repeater?
Well, I think you can probably get into Queens. I don't know if you can get in as far as the Queens-Nassau border. I've spoken to people located in Queens. Maybe on the side of Manhattan that's adjacent to Brooklyn. I think if you went a little bit too far in the other direction, all the buildings would sort of get in the way. I don't recall anyone. I think occasionally we have breakthrough where we talk to a guy on the coast of New Jersey. So it's a more, I think, seasonal thing with New Jersey and parts of Staten Island. But probably the average day you can talk to Queens.
Yeah, AC2ZV. Yeah, I think the guy in Queens is 82DU, and he has a tall building up there, and it's pretty much close to the water, so I think you're right. And once you get deeper to the east, I think we don't have that much penetration. The thing is, I've been hoping we get these kids from Staten Island to check in, you know, because of the teacher, but I guess we got to wait till September for that.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. It sort of depends on what they're focusing in. You know, these days apparently they're doing stuff with robots and robot challenges and such. So yeah, I hope that we'll be able to talk to some of those people as the year progresses. You know, unfortunately last year I had high hopes for Columbia University. You know, we gave them that Monday night slot, and that unfortunately went the way of all things.
Yeah, well, it was great to meet Monica. I mean, there was one person that was an interested person out of however many there were, and the fact that she had the keys to get up to Armstrong's, you know, radio room up there. I'm sorry I didn't take her up on it earlier, because that's not available anymore. She said she might get active again, but I haven't heard her on the 2-meter net. Probably maybe in September. We'll see if we hear from her again.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. I mean, I would assume that she'd have more free time during the summer than the fall, but I don't know. We offered her the slot. I think we offered those people from the Makers Fair last year the slot. I think Maxim offered the kids from Staten Island the slot. It's, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's interesting to see if anything becomes of that.
Yeah, AC2ZV. The thing is, you got to get more than one person interested in it. I mean, like, you have a pretty big following on your other TechNet on Sunday night. Maybe you should do a commercial about that, and maybe there's somebody else wanting to check in and ask you a question.
Okay, I'll ask again. I've done advertisements. I mean, one of the reasons I rationalized, I started off doing a segment there, was to advertise this. And it didn't turn out well. I mean, even Dick, may rest in peace, K2RIW, would mention this net and mention the TechNet puzzles. And unfortunately, the guys in Long Island, I guess they prefer to stay in Long Island repeaters. So it never really worked. I even regularly mentioned the 10-meter net so that guys in Long Island might be motivated to try and check in. I've never gotten a single check-in based on that. So we'll see. Anyway, once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. And we're available for questions. If you have any technical questions, even if you have science-related questions, we'll try our best. So if anyone out there with any questions, please hit that push-to-talk button, give us your first name and your call sign.
Hey, Roy, this is AC2ZV. I got a question about the 10-meter net. You know, a lot of times I tune into the 10-meter net, and you guys are talking about something, and I don't know. I want to let you know I'm here, but I also don't want to interrupt, and I'm kind of waiting for a way to get in, and you guys are going on and on, and then I can't hear the other guy so much, but I just want to let you know that I'm listening. I'm out here. Do you think we could set up maybe a hailing frequency, like +1 megahertz? Do you think you can see that on your PAN adapter if I could signal you somehow?
Well, I could set it up on the PAN adapter, but the problem is that I would assume your signal is not going to be extremely strong. So you have to have a visible one. If you're kind of within the noise floor, then I can't really perceive anything. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you know, you could send me an email or something, and I'll just pause and listen for you if you want to try that. Because I also, I watch the email and such. But send it to R.S. Laufer. Don't send it to the other email address that you get your club email from.
Yeah, AC2ZV. Okay, maybe that's a way to do it. But I just thought that your PAN adapter had sensitivity, so you could, I would be able to like signal you in Morse code or something like that, you know, at about a kilocycle or so up, and you'd see me like clicking on and off, and you'd know I was there. Well, if that would work, who knows?
Well, you know, I mean, since the bandwidth is about 3 kilocycles, what you'd end up doing is, if your signal was strong enough, you would be distorting doing wonky things with the guy talking on the other end. The problem is most likely your output when it reaches me is either very, very near the noise floor or below the noise floor. So discerning a signal at that level is impossible. Because, I mean, theoretically, I would assume that you've tried. We can't just kind of keep on babbling endlessly. There's a point where a guy will finally get tired of talking to me and say, well, I got to go someplace. I'll talk to you later. And then there's an inevitable little pause before the next person. It's a very, very weird net in that I don't really get the feeling that there's a bunch of people listening and then one person talks. It's sort of a serial net where, you know, one guy's listening and he talks and we have a conversation and he gets tired of continuing the conversation. By that time, another guy has started to listen and I, you know, let go of that guy, and the new guy who is listening I talk to, and if I'm lucky I could do 3 or 4 of those in a row, and before you know it 2 hours have passed and I call it a day. So there's got to be a pause. The problem is, unfortunately, that my surmise is If I, you know, just kind of quietly just listened, your signal wouldn't be strong enough. Could be wrong, but that's my guesstimate because, you know, it depends, especially when you say that you can't hear other people, means that either it's very directional or it's kind of limited to high-strength signals. Since you're throwing a low-strength signal, that could be a problem. So if you had a better antenna, if you had more power, but I don't know. We can experiment, like I said, if you want to. Just email me. I keep my email pages open, and I'll drop the carrier for a while and give you an opportunity to try to transmit a signal to me.
Okay, well, AC2ZB, thanks for that. Looks like Max has joined us on the Echo Link. So let's see if Max has got a question. I really appreciate your answer, and I'll think about how to do that, and we'll get back to you on it. Okay, Max, what's up?
Well, this is KG2VVA. Yeah, so usually I'm trying to get down to the impact of my trip. Just wanted to let Roy know. Corny Island MakerFest table is reserved. So that's good. I'm playing around with KingCountyRadioClub.org and have that up and going. I'll show you my progress. That's a big progress there. So yeah, just making some minor progress here. And then just in terms of transferring the other domain, I was thinking actually transferring to this new account that I've set up since already going to have the .org, which is going to transfer the .com there as well. And then if that. Yeah, I just wanted to give you a bit of an update there.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I was going to email you about doing that since you already set up one account there. It probably makes more sense to switch it over. One of these days, I have to go and look on the instructions, and most likely I'm going to have to change the name server back to Mitch. Otherwise, it'll get deeply confused once we change the where the domain is. Because I don't think it holds on to secondary controls, but again, something I have to check on. But okay, when I get a chance, I'll move that domain over to the new account.
Yeah, that sounds good. On a technical aspect, though, now that I'm thinking about the maker here, this time I'm probably not going to set up Mitch's, you know, ridiculously tall antenna because last time was a little bit on the, you know, weird side. Plus, like, wasn't exactly attracting. So I was like, oh, you want me to install one of those? Well, that's not happening. So I was actually thinking of buying one of those antennas that I was talking to you before about, like, similar to Wolf of Oil that, you know, Joe uses. So I was looking at Chatterjee, I believe, antenna. So here's the challenge. I don't know if you know, but the maker here is happening in this big tented dome thing on the 20th and West 23rd. Do you think that these like vertical antennas will have any luck getting out of that and they don't know much?
Well, it kind of depends on what the tent is made of. I would assume it's either made out of plastic or canvas. If it is, then it shouldn't have any problem. The only thing, you know, you wouldn't want is for some reason if they chose something that amounts to a metallized a plastic, you wouldn't want that because then, you know, you'd have a Faraday cage instead of of just a tent. But I would assume not. I mean, what was it made out of last year?
Well, it's not really a tent. It's just like a permanent structure that is like a big, it's like quote-unquote a tent, but it's not really a tent. It's hard to explain. If you look at Google Maps, you can probably see it there right behind the ice rink. But yeah, it does seem a little bit more problematic because it is a little bit more permanent structure.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to tell. I would assume the way you're describing it, it's a little bit more complicated than what tents are. So there might be places where there's no metals, but there might be places where there are metals. So it's a kind of, you know, better than nothing type of a situation. I mean, there are guys, you every so often I'll bump into them where they have a dipole stapled to the side of the wall in their house, and they're getting out. They're probably getting exposed to a wee bit more RF than most people would want to, but, you know, it depends. The antennas don't usually, unless you really have a nice Faraday cage, completely fail. They just partially fail. So, you know, everything ultimately is a compromise. If it's a big pain in the backside of getting it outside of that enclosure, then, you know, go for the enclosure and hope for the best.
AC2ZV, where is it exactly?
It's on the West 23rd, I believe, and basically on the boardwalk.
23rd in what borough are you talking about? Boardwalk? Are you talking about Brooklyn, somewhere down in Coney Island?
Yep, Coney Island.
That's right. It's called the Coney Island Amphitheater. And, yeah, we'll see. I'm probably going to get one of those antennas anyways. I just wanted to ask you before, you know, spend $300 on an antenna. I was also looking at the Bull Silver coils, which are cheaper, but they seem to be a little bit harder to operate than the antenna I shared with you on Discord.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really special. It's basically, if memory serves, it's a shortened whip with a loading coil. Not as efficient, but, you know, everything's a compromise.
Yep, I hear you. I just have not had somehow very good luck with antennas so far, but it's mostly because I'm trying to homebrew them, and they seem to be doing weird things. I finally tested out my MFED during the field day, but I'm forgetting. They're like not very good connections with it, like WR, I think. But never was doing so. We'll see. I just want to have an antenna I can trust that I didn't build at a trade session for the maker.
Hey, Max, it's AC2ZV. You got a good meter on that so you can see what your forward and reverse power is just sitting there? Because I think having a good meter is at least cool, because then when you're talking, you can see the two needles move back and forth, and you can see that you're actually transmitting some power.
Well, I had one, but then apparently it got, the connection got loose, and I think I snapped all the wires. I got to repair it. It's one of those little little meters that looks like a needle. But my new radio has an internal WR meter. She'll show me about it. It has WR on my end.
Fine. It's just I think, you know, for the maker fair or something like that, you want something on the table that, you know, moves around like an antenna, especially like I'm here on Echolink and I get a VU meter, so, you know, I get to see myself talking, which, you know, is more better than not seeing anything happening at all.
Yeah, I hear you. I just got to fix it up. It'll be kind of hoping to have it working by the time I get to the maker fair in a month or so, well, 2 months and a half, though.
Yeah, hopefully you'll have something that's tunable where you can get it. You know, I'm not saying 1-to-1, but, you know, something below 1.5. There seems to be a lull in the conversation. William, we were talking during the general meeting about making some kind of internet protocol access to 10 meters. So I started to see what you could do with Echolink, and the answer is not much. It's designed primarily to be UHF, VHF, and FM, and so it requires a squelch, because you know what happens if you feed Echolink and a 10-meter single sideband signal with the background noise? It disables your ability to transmit to it, because it thinks that the repeater is talking to you already.
Aha. So you only need people with loud transmitters that would make it work. Otherwise, because you're always fishing signals out of the noise, at least that's my experience with my rig. I don't have that great of an antenna, so I don't break that much of an S meter up on your thing. I think you say I'm under the noise, which basically means if my signal is equal to the noise, I see a little bump in the noise floor. That's it when I'm talking.
Yes, that would be the case, but it's worse here in that Echolink doesn't understand the concept of noise, again, because it's designed for FM with squelch. Radios that have FM have squelch controls. Radios that have single sideband or amplitude modulation usually do not, because a lot of times you're trying to get them right near the noise floor, and if they were squelched, you wouldn't recognize it. But FM tends to be a little bit more... it's not for distance, it's for nearby, but it's more robust, and you can have a full capture signal with good fidelity, and if it drops below a certain point, the squelch comes on and your radio is silent. Whereas if you turned off the squelch, you'd hear that part of the band is just as noisy as any other part. So unless I had a squelchable single sideband, that kind of stops it from transmitting on the other side. And even if I did, it would be a problem, because I would have to kind of figure out how do I give it a kind of riding squelch level, because if the noise floor goes up, then you're locked out of transmitting. If it goes down, you might miss a signal. So it's not really designed for HF, and it's not designed for single sideband. It's designed for repeaters and FM modulation.
Yeah, AC2ZV. I get your point entirely there. You know, what I was really talking about was maybe somehow other members could access a transmitter that they would be allowed to operate. So they would actually be listening to the stream that comes back over the KCRC stream for the 10 meter, but somehow a link through their cell phone or something like that would they'd be able to key the 10-meter transmitter, so they'd be able to carry on a conversation on the 10-meter net through a transmitter that they were actually remote from. So I don't know if that's possible, but that's what really this suggestion was more about, because you already have the return path coming in through the stream. But then, you know, the real problem with all that is the delay. So I've noticed that there can be up to, you know, a second, 2 seconds delay, maybe 5 seconds sometimes listening to the stream. So that would be pretty awkward for the operator having all those breaks in time.
Yeah, you'd have problems with the latency issues, but I mean, primarily you're still kind of stuck with the big question of how the heck do you do that? You'd need a transmitter. You would need some means of transmitting, of sending audio from something you have to the site of the transmitter, perhaps some safeguards to have it not run away and, you know, wreak havoc on wherever it's located. It's certainly a massive complication. You know, if anyone out there would like to kind of set up their transmitter so that anyone who got onto an internet protocol audio source could vox onto the net. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think too many people would really want to kludge that much. I mean, people don't even want to come on and say hello on it.
Yeah, AC2ZD. Yeah, I guess it's just a silly idea. I said, you know, because just figuring out maybe there'd be other ways for other people to share, you know, 10 meters. But it seems very complicated. That's absolutely for sure.
Yeah, I even went on an IO forum for Echolink and asked around, and most of the time they said, well, you should just use an FM transceiver. You know, they kind of didn't understand the question, I guess. And one guy had these plans from 1973 that I think he got off of QST that had a whole bunch of circuits and ICs that probably don't exist anymore. And helpful. I mean, nice of them, but, you know, I kind of told them for an experiment that at most will operate 2 hours a week, it would seem to me like a great deal additional effort. And you sort of bump into the same problems with Squelch, although his design required doing it kind of discreetly and playing around with digital signal processors to voice to boost the voice bandpass, and you know it was some interesting theory and such. It just it was a wee bit overkill for the purpose.
Yeah, AC2ZV. Yeah, I think the situation would be full duplex. Basically, you have a constant receive, and then you have a separate channel for your transmit that's going out. And whatever keying you do, you just key it when you feel like keying it. You don't worry about squelch. And you just listen to whatever comes in on the stream. But the thing is, the stream is delayed, and that makes it very difficult.
Okay, but then you have to redesign the output, because you can't use Echolink, because Echolink needs that signal. You can't just kind of transmit without it, I don't think. So it's, because if you do that, then you can't hear the, I guess you can hear it in delay. It's a real mess, it strikes me. Because, you know, then you'll talk in and you won't be able to cut out your own audio signals. So 30 seconds later, you'll hear yourself and then you'll hear the other guy. I don't know. Doesn't seem to be a viable alternative.
No, it doesn't seem viable at all, but it seems like it's remotely possible that you could not have any signal ever coming down the Echolink and just have the receive signal coming down the stream, and then you could just key the Echolink whenever you felt like it, and then you'd have your own voice coming back down the stream for the confidence. And so it would be a strange, it would be a lot of delay, I think, but you might be able to get it to work, but who would want to spend the time doing that? Kind of silly thing. Anyway, back to net control. Maybe somebody's got a good question.
Okay, we'll give it yet another try. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy. I'm net control operator of the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net on the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month. So if there's anyone out there with any technical questions I would like to ask them, please hit that push to talk and say your piece. Well, it seems that we're still in the dog days of summer here.
Yep, AC2ZV. I guess everybody's enjoying this nice, cool evening. So you want me to ask some more questions, or you want to call it a night and let's go for the puzzle?
Well, we can do the puzzle if you want. We haven't done the puzzle in about, I think it was scheduled for something like May. So we can try this, the puzzle. The puzzle is a sine wave with a peak-to-peak value of 22 volts will have a root mean square value of approximately, and then you got four choices. Could be 31 volts, could be 44 volts, could be 8 volts, it could be 16 volts. So if Maxim wants to make a guess, or if you'd like to give us an answer, feel free.
What's the peak-to-peak value again?
The peak-to-peak value is 22 volts.
All right, I don't remember all the answers, but I feel like I'm like 16.
So your answer would be 16, and the choices were 31, 44, 8, and 16.
So 22 was the entire, right? Like it's from trough to peak, right? So like we're not talking about half. So if it's 22 from bottom of the wave to the top of the wave, yeah.
Okay. William, what would you say?
AC2ZD, I can't get to the puzzle. I typed in what I thought was the right link, and I didn't. What was the correct link?
It's puzzle.kc2rc.com.
AC2ZV. Yeah, I'm guessing 8 volts.
Okay, very good. Well, Maxim, unfortunately, you got it wrong, but William got it right. The hint I would suggest is that you got to use the square root of 2 someplace. So what you have to do is you have to divide the peak voltage by the square root of 2, but not the peak-to-peak voltage. So the peak-to-peak voltage is twice just the peak voltage, you know, from the 0 volts to the high, as opposed from the high to the low. So half of 22 is 11. If you divide 11 by the square root of 2, you get 7.85 and such. So the closest one is C, 8 volts.
Got it. Thank you for explaining. And this one is definitely going to be on my general test. I've been looking at questions, so now I know a little bit better. Thank you.
Peak, and then the next thing down is 8, and that's how you got there. But it is the square root 1 over the square root of 2, or 0.707.
Yep, yep. I don't know. I would be very surprised if a question like that shows up on the general exam. They tend to take math problems where the solution to the equations are integers, at least judging from the exams that I went through back 12 years ago. Even an extra exam, they'll do things like Pythagoras' theorem and use the two legs are 3 and 4, which means the hypotenuse is 5. So they seldom, I've never seen any questions that required a calculator. I brought one just in case, but I didn't need it. I didn't need to turn it on. So this is probably above the level of a general exam, you know, a little bit above extra probably.
Well, anyway, thanks a lot for the puzzle, Roy. Really appreciate the exercise. Haven't done math like that in a while, but it's always great to try out the old brain and see if it remembers anything.
Okay, you're welcome. I'll load another puzzle for the next time, although I don't know if next time will still be August, so it might be as quiet as it is. It's August and July. Let me throw it out one last time. If anyone out there is listening to us and wondering what the heck's going on, this is a technical net. We have it on the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month, and we entertain any technical question. So if you have any questions or comments to make, hit that push to talk, give us your call sign and your first name. Okay, well, we got another relatively slow night. It's already 9:48, and William, you told me that you wanted to be gone by 10 o'clock, so unless anyone has any closing comments, I guess we'll call it a net.
Yeah, this is the AC2ZB. Yeah, thanks a lot, Roy, for doing the net. I was hoping we were going to get some those Staten Island kids out there, but we'll have to prod this guy a little bit along and see if we can get them to see if they can log in from their location. Anyway, great having this tonight, and it was a great opportunity to work with you. Have a great evening. AC2ZB clear.
Well, thank you, William. I really do appreciate it. You made some time for us here on the net. I really, really do appreciate it.
Yeah, there's no problem. And hey, thanks for Max for doing that work. And we're going to hear more about that later in September. Have a good day. You too. Bye.
Okay. This night has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York, and we meet on the first Wednesday of each and every month. Our next meeting will be September 4th, which will be held via teleconference. Club members will be emailed with the details logging into the meeting. Non-members wishing to join a general club meeting can email me, AC2GS, with some form of identification for the required link. Although our meetings informally begin after 7 p.m., our formal regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until somewhere around 9 to 10 p.m., depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net on every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month at 9 p.m., and we also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock on 11 a.m. on 28.380 megahertz upper sideband. We offer an audio stream of our KC2RC repeater on the internet, as well as our 10-meter net at stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. If you would like to contact the host of this TechNet, just address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website hosting services are generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, Three Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen more and talk less. It's time to roll this all up and shut it all down, but we'll be back to do this all over again August 28th, and you're welcome to join us. Thanks to all the people that participated tonight, especially my co-host William, AC2ZV. Without you guys, I'd just be talking to myself. So this is Roy, AC2GS, going clear and getting the heck out of here.
Good night, Roy. Thanks so much.